Amen. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And David ends his psalm in verse 8, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Thank you for standing. We're going to pray here in just a minute. You pray for us. Amen. I'm not tired. I'm just ragged. All right. I'm ragged. I preached last night. And what do you think I preached last night? An hour and 20 minutes, 25, maybe an hour and 30 minutes last night. As wide open and hard as a man can get with it. And we're thankful and the Lord helped us. But I want to be a help to us tonight. I want to finish this psalm if the Lord will help us to be able to do so. But we'll need some help from the Lord. We need you to pray for us this evening. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the word of the Lord. Thank you this evening that, Lord, you are on the throne. Thank you for the victory we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you tonight for the Spirit of the Lord that, Lord, walks with us and is in us. And Lord, helps us, Lord, to be able to do the things that our God has called us to do. Thank you for the Word of God tonight and the light that it gives in a dark world. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God that, Lord, we can assemble with tonight in this place, here in the house of God, and find fellowship, Lord, that we cannot find in this world. Thank you for every promise that you made that is sure and real and true. And Lord, those things you promised that have come to pass, we bless you for. And those things you promised, Lord, that are to come in days that are ahead, Lord, we give you praise for those as well. Thank you, Lord, for all these things and for so much more. Lord, every spiritual gift and blessing that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for it tonight. Thank you for this psalm and, Lord, what it means and the way it stirred and challenged our heart. Lord, I pray you do so again tonight. Help us, empower us, and touch our voice, touch our mind, touch our body. Lord, most of all, I pray you touch the heart of all of us that are gathered in tonight. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This psalm, again, is simply entitled, A Psalm of David. Amen. Doesn't seem like it would maybe be much of anything. Amen. Just a Psalm of David. But in studying this psalm, we believe that it was penned prior to David's official public anointing and crowning, his coronation and becoming the rightful king, God's appointed and anointed man over the nation of Israel. And so this psalm, we believe that it was David penning this. In my study, I found even this week in restudying and dealing with the background of this psalm and maybe even some more depths, that it's believed this psalm would be used after the times of David for every king that would ever rule over Israel. And they all would make this their psalm, their promise, their pledge to the nation as far as what kind of king they would be. Now, if that is so, one thing we know from the Word of God is that so many of those kings were wicked men who had great failures in fulfilling the spirit of Psalm 101. Very few of them in the nation of Israel, over Israel or over Judah, the southern part of the kingdom. After that it splits, you could list on one hand, Brother Larry, how many of those different kings and men and rulers fulfilled the spirit of Psalm 101. And yet David set the pattern, and ultimately this will be fulfilled. David himself failed in many regards to what he pledges and promises in Psalm 101. And yet we find in this, that one of these days, Jesus Christ will rule and reign from David's throne upon earth, and he will fulfill perfectly every will, every resolution, and every dedication that David penned down concerning the kind of man and the kind of king that David desired to be. How we see this in Psalm 101, looking at the nine times David uses the word "I will." The word "will," "I will" or "I will not." These are a reference to the resolutions it is making concerning, again, the kind of man that his intent and has desired and has directed his life to be. Will is defined by Webster's, we have said, as to decide in the mind that something shall be done or forborne. And that bears out in the psalm that a man's will, a woman's will. We believe the will is something God has given to every man. And what a blessing that God did not make man to be robots. He did not make us and then that friend dictate over us and a man put a sort of key in our bank that would wind us up and send us on like a bunch of robots. Amen. God gave man a will, and with that will, man in his mind makes decisions about what he's going to do and about what he's not going to do. And we find that throughout this psalm, Psalm 100. And I don't want to get into the weeds again about the will other than to say this, amen, that God gave us a will, but God has a will for our life. Amen. God is active in trying to fulfill his will in our life. He gives us his will. He reveals his desires. He reveals his plans. He reveals the direction and the path and the purposes for which it has made us. And he longs for our will to be conformed to his will for our lives. Amen. And as God has a will for our life, it is sure that the prince, the power, the air in which we live, the devil, none other than Satan himself, has a will for our lives. And he's trying to, amen, impress his will into our life that will bend our will his direction. And so tonight, by our will, we choose. Am I going to serve God? Am I going to follow the will of the Lord, or am I going to follow the will of Satan? Amen. And so there are paths that we can go down tonight. Amen. And it won't be, amen, God making us, and it surely won't be the devil making us. Amen. It'll be our free will choice which path that we go down tonight. And so in Psalm 101, what we find is an inside look at key areas of David's life that he has resolved to be right and righteous in. Amen. And so we understand that this is our personal responsibility. Amen. I will, David said, I will not, I shall not. Amen. It's not anybody else's responsibility. Amen. Nobody else can make David do these things. This is his personal responsibility. Amen. I think if there's any message needs to be preached to our generation, amen, it is the message of personal responsibility. Amen. Quit blaming everybody else for the shape you're in. Amen. Quit blaming everybody else for the bumps and the bruises and the hurts and the condition that your life is in. Amen. David said, I'm taking ownership of my decision. Amen. It is a matter of personal responsibility. Amen. And we noted again that not only is it a matter of personal responsibility, but it's a matter of personal righteousness. Amen. The resolutions that David is making, the commitments that he is making to himself, to his people, to his nation, even to his family, and ultimately to his God, And these are righteous resolutions. Amen. And it'll take a righteous man, a righteous woman, somebody, amen, who have some resolve about them to be righteous, amen, to make these kind of resolutions. And so we're preaching simply on the resolve of the righteous. Amen. David's setting the pattern for you and for me, for my life and for your life. And though we're not going to be earthly kings, we find that there is a certain kind of man or a certain kind of woman as children of God that we should be resolved to be. Amen. And so these key areas involved in verse number 1. Amen. David speaking of being resolved in my balance. Amen. He is going to sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I'm focused on the Lord. And when I see the Lord, I see the Lord in balance. I see His mercy and His judgment in my life. Amen. I see the sweets and the bitters. I see the positive and the negative. Amen. And boy, what a blessing it is that our God, amen, is at work in our life, both in love and severity. David's singing of this is reflecting the fact that and he sees God at work in both ways of his life. And so that is going to bring a balance to David's life. Amen. It's going to bring a balance in his life. Amen. I believe we need a balance in how we live our Christian life. It ain't all about love and it ain't all about judgment. Amen. We've got to have a balance in how we view the kind of Christian that we need to be. Amen. I won't re-preach all that, but balance. Number 2, resolved in my behavior. Amen. David says plainly, I will behave myself wisely. And he said, in a perfect way. Amen. I think David realizes that the lifestyle of a child of God ought to be lived by, amen, a certain standard. Amen. He ought to be behaving himself by, amen, a certain guideline. Amen. And so there's a way we ought to behave as children of God. And if that is so, and it is, amen, there's a certain way we ought not to behave ourselves. Amen. And so he's dealing with my behavior. Amen. Behaving myself in a perfect way and behaving myself with a perfect heart. That is being in line with the scripture and having a heart of submission. Amen. That makes it not a grievous thing, but a pleasant thing in my life. Amen. Amen. Boy, that's something we need in these days. Amen. Resolve number 3, verse 3, in my beholdings. Amen. David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And so I think the resolve here is that David is expressing a determination of his will to protect his soul by guarding his very eye. Amen. He doesn't want anything to come in through the gate of his eye and would make its way into his heart and thus his soul and corrupt him and defile him and ruin his testimony. Amen. We ought to be careful what we watch. We ought to be careful, amen, what we take in through the eye gate. Amen. That goes from everything we look at on the internet, every show we watch on television. Amen. If it's got wickedness as defined by the scripture now, amen, not based on what you think is okay or ain't as bad as such and such. Oh no. Amen. David said, I'm not going to set any wicked thing before mine eyes. Amen. We can't help what we see through our casual daily life. Amen, but I can, amen, I can be resolved and I can control, amen, what I allow to come into my eye gate. Amen, amen, amen. Boy, I tell you, we've come a long way and I don't want to re-preach all of this. Amen. But I've got some old books and this should blow your mind. Amen. I didn't get on it. Amen. When we come through before, Amen. But I've got some old books back there in my library and things I've read through the years. Amen. Back when Andy Griffith come out, and that's all our favorite show. Amen. But there's some men of God said way back yonder when Andy Griffith come out, and Andy Griffith would be the ruin of America. Amen. Amen. And buddy, we've come a long way, and we look at Andy Griffith as being wholesome. Amen. And I ain't telling you, I ain't making no resolution tonight to quit watching Andy Griffith. Amen. I'm just telling you what preacher said back then. Amen. And now it's amazing, man, what we as children of God allow to be watched. Amen. In the confines of our very, amen, personal and intimate lives behind the four walls of our house. Amen. Murder and violence and bloodshed and sodomite relationships and homosexuality and adultery and drunkenness. Amen. And outright wicked things that, amen, we allow to entertain our eye, and it all makes its way in our heart, and thus our lives began to be corrupt and defiled. Amen. You might as well say amen right there. Amen, amen. And I ain't telling you again, I ain't telling you I'm going to quit watching Andy Griffith. Amen. I still like Barney Fife and all that. Amen. But there's a warning went out years ago, amen, of where it was going to go, and people mocked them old men of God. Amen. Just like folk in this generation mock your pastor. Amen. Just like your flesh right now is said. Amen. Old preacher, he's just a little too extreme and a little bit too far on these things. And you're having all those thoughts about, I ain't going to quit watching my favorite show. I ain't going to stop for nobody. Amen. That's how they acted. Amen. 60 and 70 years ago. Amen. And mocked it. Look at where we are now. Where are we going to be if God's people don't make a stand? Amen. If God's people don't, my friend, make some resolutions, where are we going to be 50 years from now? Say amen now. Say amen. Amen. And so there's a resolution in my beholdings. Amen. In my beholdings. David said, I ain't watching a bunch of heathens cuss. I ain't watching a bunch of heathens on a comedy stage tell their dirty jokes. Amen, amen. That's good preaching. I feel like preaching. Amen. I was sweet last night, and I'm feeling a mean streak coming back on me tonight. Amen. Resolved in my beholdings. Resolved in my boundaries. Resolved in my boundaries. David said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And so David realizes there are those that turn aside. Amen. They run outside of the boundaries. They run over the ancient landmarks. Hey, amen. They have turned aside things that, amen, have been morally acceptable. And David said, amen, what the thing that David is saying he hates is the work that they do when they do that. And they're always trying to drag others down the same ungodly, unrighteous, unbiblical stand, amen, that they are making in their life. Amen. David said they may go and they may drag others with them. Amen. But David said the boundaries have been marked in my life. Amen. There have been landmarks that have been raised. Amen. I ain't compromising with or for anybody. Amen. And David said, I'm resolved in my boundaries. Amen. The ways people turn aside are not going to cling to me. Amen. Though they beg me, though they bully me, amen, I will not be turned aside. Amen. Why, David? Because I got some boundaries I'm resolved to walk in. Amen. Resolved in my boundaries. Number 5 and number 6, and we're done. Amen. It's took me 2 weeks to preach 3 verses, and in one night, I'm going verse 4 through verse number 8. And amen, we'll be done with this psalm. Amen. And so consider with me verses 4-7. Amen. David, in speaking of the resolve of the righteous, amen, says, I am resolved in my bonds. I'm resolved in my bonds. In this section of Psalm 101, what you'll find, and it's easy to identify, is that David speaks about those who will and will not be allowed into his inner circle to be counted as his closest friends. In fact, there's some pretty strong language that David uses, amen, about who is going to enter into, amen, a brotherhood or into the bonds of friendship with him about. I want to caution us just a moment tonight before we start down this road. Amen, this section of verses is not there, amen, for us to justify, amen, abstaining from relationship with people that we have personality conflicts with. David is not saying, I just say, I'm not going to fellowship with them because we don't jive, or I don't like their hobbies, or I don't like their personality. Amen. Oh no, David wasn't petty. Amen. Can I say that again? David wasn't a petty king that, amen, he couldn't get along with somebody who just, amen, because they had a different personality, or, amen, they weren't his cup of tea. Amen. He's very principled in the way that he views friendship and the bonds and those that he's going to allow to be close in his life. May I say, we would be wise, and I know this is unpopular. Amen. You may spit on me going out the door tonight. I know that what I'm getting ready to preach is unpopular, but can I tell you, we would be wise to be very cautious about who we allow into our inner circles.
Right. Yes, sir.
It's been said before that you are or soon will be who your friends are. Amen. You want to know who you are? You want to know what you're about ready to become? Amen. Take an inventory and an evaluation, amen, of those that are closest to us tonight. Amen. And we are or soon shall be, amen, who we have entered into bonds with. And I think that's why David, amen, is making these as part of his kingly resolutions. Amen. He doesn't want to be corrupted by, amen, allowing certain sorts of people into his bonds. Amen. And so notice with me some traits of those that David refuses to join in close fellowship with. Amen. Again, these are not personality conflicts. Amen. These are not people that just see things different than David sees. Amen. David is not, amen, and I hope this don't, amen, this doesn't look like, amen, some sort of conflict with something else. I'll preach here in a minute, amen, but you don't have to see everything the way David sees it for him to get along with you. Amen. He ain't looking for those that have every little opinion the very same little way that he does about things. And so that's not the purpose of this section of verses. Number one, consider with me, David refuses to join in bonds of close fellowship to those with a froward heart. A froward heart. Notice what he said in verse number 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. A froward heart. Those with a froward heart. Do you know what a froward heart is? Amen. You say, well, that's why we come to church, so you would tell us what a froward heart is. Here's what a froward heart is. And you'll read about the froward, or a froward heart, or a froward spirit throughout, especially the book of Proverbs. It's used over and over and over, amen, warning us about the froward. Amen. The froward heart, amen, is a perverse and crooked heart that is perverse and crooked in morals and religion.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, David said, amen, and listen, amen, everybody don't always do everything right. Amen. And we can tolerate somebody, amen, that has a bad day or makes some bad decisions. Amen. But David said when it bears out that they do it over and over and over again, it is evident that they have a heart issue and that their heart has become froward. Amen. Do you understand how strong of a definition and a word that froward is? Amen. To be perverse and crooked in morals. Amen. In other words, they have no boundary lines. Amen. Their heart never says no, amen, to anything that is immoral. Amen. They will go headlong into anything. And David said, if I notice that somebody has a froward heart, a heart that is crooked, a heart that is perverse, a heart filled with immorality. Amen. David said, that is somebody, listen now, amen, that shall depart from me. Amen. Because if they got a froward heart, it won't be long. They will exercise that froward heart against you. Amen. Those with a froward heart. Amen. Do you know anybody like that tonight? Our generation is full of them. People with no morals. People that are crooked. People that have a perversity about them that, amen, though they be religious and even though they sit in church, amen, they have an immorality about them that is the testimony of a froward heart. Amen. And in this day, in this hour where we all got to get along and we can't say nothing about nothing, amen, and ye that are without sin cast the first stone mentality. Amen. David said, amen, I ain't casting no stones. I'm just telling you, amen, those with a froward heart are not going to be close to me. Amen. A froward heart. Number two, amen, and it gets worse now. If you don't like number one, it just gets worse. It gives five of them. Those with a slandering tongue. Amen. Buckle your seatbelt. Verse number 5, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. A slandering tongue. Amen. I believe if you study the Word of God, and we'll not do it tonight, I thought about, amen, embarking on not an exhaustive study of all of these, but, amen, running some references, and I won't do that tonight. Amen. But, Slander is something the Word of God is very, very serious about. Right. Amen. You say, what is slander? What is one who privily slander? Amen. That is, he is privily means privately. Amen. Behind one's back. Amen. Outside of one being able to defend themselves, and to slander, amen, is uttering a false. Now listen now, you study the Word of God about slander. Here's what you're going to find. When you slander somebody, you are uttering a false or incomplete damaging statement against a third party. It is outright either uttering a false, something you know to be false, or maybe not false, but it's just incomplete. Amen. In other words, you tell part of the truth, but you don't tell all the truth. Amen. You tell enough of the truth whereby, amen, it makes the third party, amen, that is being slandered look bad or look like they're doing something they weren't doing. Amen. And all of this is going on behind the scenes. Amen. And so David said, when somebody comes to me privately and they are uttering things about somebody else, amen, and about their neighbor, David said, amen, I ain't going to tolerate that. I don't want those kind of friendships. Amen. You know why? Because David knew what all of us ought to know. Amen. If you've been alive long enough at all, amen, if you've been saved and alive, amen, any amount of time at all, here's what you need to understand. If they will slander others to you, they will slander you to others. Amen. Amen. Boy, I wish I had a voice. I'd boom this out and preach it tonight. Amen. A slandering tongue. Amen. I'm telling you, David said, I want to be very, very careful. Amen. And tolerating people. Amen. That slander others to me. I'm not going to do that. Him will I cut off. Those with a slandering tongue. Those with a proud spirit. I got to hurry. Mine eyes, he said, amen. He said here in verse number 5, amen, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Middle verse 5, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. A proud spirit. Amen. David understood that God hated a proud look. Amen. A high look, a proud spirit, a haughtiness about, amen, I'm this or I'm that or I've accomplished this. Amen. And pride manifests itself in so many ways. Amen. And all of us have a propensity, amen, to become proud if we're not careful. Amen. But David said, I am on the lookout, amen, for those who have a proud spirit about them. Amen. That's not somebody you really want, amen, real close in bonds of fellowship. A proud spirit. Number 4, those with a deceitful life. He said, verse number 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. David said, if I watch you long enough and your life don't match, amen, your walkie-walkie don't match your talkie-talkie. David said, it ain't going to be long, amen, that hypocrisy is going to shine forth. And those that have a deceitful life, amen, that word deceit, worketh deceit, it means this. It means treacherous. It means to betray. It means living a life of what is not true. Amen. Number 5, those with a lying mouth. Somebody who is always lying. We're not talking about they were well-intentioned or well-meaning and just couldn't follow through. But if they run around and they say things that are blatant untruths, made-up stories, David said, that's somebody we got to watch out for. I don't need them in my inner circle.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, lying is one of the most cautioned sins in all the Word of God. Amen. So much so that it blatantly says every liar shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. God ain't messing around with liars. And David said, I ain't messing around with liars. Amen. The reason is you can't trust what a liar says. You can't trust anything that comes out of their mouth. Amen. Again, we're not talking about somebody with good intentions. We're not talking about, amen, somebody says something and just is unable to follow through, but somebody that just every time they open their mouth, they're telling a lie. Yeah. Amen. I got a family member that runs around and tells everybody that they went to Afghanistan to the war. And every time I hear that, I scratch my head and go, that ain't true. Amen. That ain't true. That's a lie. That is a liar of the worst kind. Come on now. I hope he's watching tonight. Amen. I hope he's watching tonight because that's a lie. And when you run around telling lies like that all the time, amen, don't be sad when nobody believes anything that comes out of your mouth. Amen. David said, I ain't doing it. Notice in the language that he uses about these 5 different kinds of people, these are those David said, I will not know, I will cut off, I will not suffer, will not dwell in my house. And David said of the lying mouth, he said, they'll not tarry in my sight. That's pretty strong, ain't it? Amen. In this kumbaya age, we ain't going to say, because none of us are perfect now. We all know that. Ain't nobody in here perfect. But David said, if you have these as major characteristics in your life, I don't want nothing to do with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was wondering if my mic was working. I was wondering if y'all could hear anything I was saying. Are y'all out there? David said, these kind of people, I ain't putting up with them. Amen. Notice that though David has much to say about the kind he is cautious of, notice his resolve, and this is important, his resolve to keep his eye on those who exhibit three particular attributes. Tonight, as we have dealt with this, and I know David spends a lot of time, David talks a lot about the kind that he's going to, amen, have depart from him, and he ain't going to know, and he's going to cut off, and he's not going to suffer it. And he's talking about a kind that he don't want around his house. He don't want them near his family. He's talking about some that are not going to tarry in his sight. But David, I love what he said in verse number 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. And so, amen, let's be honest about it tonight. Amen. We all know people who possess those five negative qualities, right? Amen, and it can be discouraging the way you fight the discouragement and the bitterness that can come, amen, through those kind of qualities in a person, amen, is to focus on those who have positive characteristics. Amen, don't spend your time trying to straighten everybody out. You know what I've learned? You ain't gonna make a liar quit lying. You know what I've learned? Somebody with a froward heart, Brother Larry, you ain't going to change their immorality. So, oh, they just need a friend and a buddy. You can't help somebody when they have a froward heart if they won't let God clean it up. That you ain't going to do it. Amen. Well, they just got a little problem with gossip and talking a little too much. Amen. And we all, if we be honest, we all probably say a little more than we ought to say sometimes. Amen. But somebody who is hell-bent on slandering somebody they've got an issue with and will only give incomplete statements and stories of conversations or events that have happened. Amen. I'm telling you, David said, I can't do nothing about that. Amen. What can I do? I can focus on some people, amen, who are doing right and have good positive qualities. Number one, those who are steadfast. I love this. I'm almost done. I meant to be done now, but amen, it'll be all right. Those who are steadfast. Amen. Notice what David said. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. I'm going to focus on people that have been faithful. Amen. Amen. You say, well, what's that mean? David is saying, I have observed some people around me that have a good track record. Amen. They've been at it long enough. They're not fly-by-nighters. They bore it out over a long period of time. You see, faithfulness is not born out in a day or two or a week or two or a month or two. Faithfulness is born out by, amen, will you be faithful when it's convenient? Will you be faithful when it's inconvenient? To be faithful is I have proven how, amen, I'll do right. I'll stick by the stuff. I'll have the right kind of qualities no matter what circumstances have come into my life. Amen. David said, I've observed some that have remained faithful. Amen. They have a good track record. Listen now. Amen. You know what the faithful of the land are? Write this down if you're taking notes. Amen. You know who the steadfast are? They are those that have proven that they are not given to change.
Amen.
Faithful people are people that have proven over a long period of time they are not given to change. And in a world that's changing all the time, we need some faithful people. Amen. I need some faithful people around my inner circle. Amen. Not perfect people, but just some faithful people that don't Find out which way the wind's blowing, Brother Gerald. Amen. But just say, I'm living my life by principles that will not change no matter what goes on around me, no matter, amen, who comes around my world preaching or amen, promoting something else. I need in my life those that have proven to not be given to change.
Amen.
Amen. It's always funny when people begin to change, they start looking at people who've stayed faithful and they'll make statements like this. Oh, you're just a legalist. Oh, you're one of them Pharisees. I've got liberty. No, you bear out through a long time whether or not you'll be given to change.
Amen.
David said, I'm going to focus on those who are steadfast. I'm going to focus on those who are the same. Those who are the same. Amen. He talked about he that worketh. Amen. He said, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way. This was the same way David had a desire to walk in. And in verse number two, I'll behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Amen. In other words, David said, I need some folk around me that's headed in the same direction.
Amen.
I need some people around me that's interested in the same spiritual maturity. Now, I want to be careful here. This don't mean that, amen, that we can't fellowship with people that are different than us in opinions or different in their life or different in, amen, regard to certain things that are of insignificance. Amen. But as far as, amen, being the same, there are some foundational, fundamental things we got to be the same in to walk together. Here's what the Bible said. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You got to have some sort of agreements if you're going to make friendship with people.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so David said, I need some people headed in the same direction. I need some people with the same spiritual ambitions. Remember the perfect way. What is the perfect way? It's the Scripture. Amen. Some people that are willing to live their life by the book. David said, I need some people around me that are the same. And then I need some people around me that are servants, those who are servants. Amen. Notice what he said. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He shall serve me. Amen. David understands there's going to be times in my life, amen, I need somebody to come along and wash my feet and lift up my hands and give me a piece of bread. And I need somebody that is going to be willing to be a servant in the hours in which I need somebody close to me in that regard. And I say the time's going to come in all our life, amen, we're going to need somebody to serve us. You better make sure you got some friends and some bonds in your life, people that have a servant mind about them, amen, that you can count on that'll be there for you, amen, in the end. Somebody say amen. Amen. Last of all, verse number 8, resolved in my bonds, my boundaries, resolved in my balance, my behavior, and my beholdings. Verse number 8, David said, I have resolve in my battles. I'm going to say a few things here and I'll be done. Notice he said, I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. I will early destroy. David is talking about battles. He understands that I'm getting into this thing and there's some battles I'm going to have to fight. Amen. There's some spiritual wickedness is coming my way. And we got battles. Amen. You might as well. And I know it ain't fun to think about. It ain't popular to preach. We don't like to focus on it. Amen. But when we got saved and we entered the family of God, we also entered a battle. We entered a warfare.
Amen.
We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. You're not my enemy and I'm not your enemy. But Charlie, we do have a spiritual battle. Amen. With wickedness and with the flesh, with the world, with the devil. Amen. We have spiritual battles that are going on all around us. David says in this verse, I'm resolved that no matter what, No matter what, I will never compromise with wickedness. I will not allow wickedness, if I know it's there, I will just do all I can to destroy it. Amen. Amen. He's talking about fighting a good fight of faith. What I want to emphasize to you about being resolved in the battles is one word that is used in this verse in regard, Brother Riley, to his battles. He said, I will early destroy the wicked of the land. I'm going to do it early. Two applications there, Brother Bryson. Number one, do it early in regard to your age. Right. Want all you young folk to listen. Learn how to get victory over wickedness in the early days of your life.
Yes, sir.
What you do not slay when you are young will be giants that you will have to fight when you're 43 years old. And you're talking to somebody, you're listening to somebody talk to you tonight that is a living testimony of it.
Amen.
Amen. See, the things we preach about fighting and slaying and the wickedness is going on, and the worldliness that is in our day, it ain't just to browbeat you and to try to box you in as young folk. We understand, but Jesse, tonight, that if you don't deal with these things when in your early years, in your early age, and you allow things to be tolerated, they just grow and they get stronger and they get, amen, they get more vicious, they get more strategic, they get more successful the older you get. Amen. Resolved in my battles early, David said, early. I'm not going to wait till I'm older. I'm not going to wait years down the road and begin to deal with these things when they've grown bigger and stronger and have more of a foothold in my life. I'm going to deal with it while it's early. Amen. Y'all believe? How many of y'all old folk in here tonight say amen to what I just told these young folk? Amen. Amen. Now let me give application to all of us early, not only in age, but early by way of day. Early. Make up your mind early in the day. There's a verse, and I wish I'd wrote the reference down, that when you do a word study on this Hebrew word, the way that it comes through and is used in another text, is given to us in our Bible day to day. And the idea being is every day, every morning, early day by day, early every day. Early every day. You say, how do I battle wickedness in my life? Amen. You got to be resolved that every day of your life, early in the morning, I'm going to make up my mind that throughout that day, I'm going to slay the wicked things in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes,
don't wait till lunchtime.
Right.
Amen. Don't wait till the evening. So I'm not a morning person. What's it got to do with being a morning person?
Amen.
Amen. What's it got to do with being a morning person? When you get up, amen, you need to make up your mind. I am resolved today that I am going to fight a good fight. I'm going to fight some things. I don't know what's coming my way. I don't know what wickedness is out there. But whatever comes my way, I'm resolved to stand against it, to fight against it. And if God be my helper, I will slay it and destroy it in my life. Where does that begin? It doesn't begin when it comes at you. It begins when you get up that day and get that soldier mentality about you that I am resolved to live in victory today.
Amen.
Amen. You got any of that kind of resolve in your life? Amen. I am done. That is Psalm 101.